Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
And welcome back, Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason, watch us, milehighsports.com. You can reach us on the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you are looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. In the meantime, want to tell you about Hot Tub Outlet in Littleton. They have a huge inventory of hot tubs right now in two warehouses ready to sell right now. Now, does that sound like a big deal on its surface? No. But it is, and here's why. Because you go into most hot tub places, they don't have any hot tubs there. Not because they're sold out. It's because they can't get any inventory. Because the supply chains are still not very strong. So if you need a hot tub right now, if you know somebody that needs a hot tub right now, Hot Tub Outlet has them. 15 different models, two different warehouses, ready to sell right now, and truckloads delivered every month. Get on over to Hot Tub Outlet. Don't wait. Get your hot tub right now if you want it. That's the way it should be, right? And don't forget, everything is made in the USA, and it has great quality, of course, and the best insulation. And if you have ever owned a hot tub, you know how important insulation is. Go to hottuboutletdenver.com right now. Time now for the lead.
Presented by Marco's Pizza in Aurora, where everything is fresh, never frozen, like the dough and sauces to go with hand-cut meats and veggies. Order today at either location, off Smoky Hill Road or Quincy in Aurora.
Okay, so John Lynch did a Zoom call to talk about his induction into the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and he was asked why vets have often chosen to come to Denver to finish their careers. Let's look at a few off the top of our heads. Okay, you have John Lynch, came here. Simeon Rice finished his career here, didn't he?
He got cut. He actually ended up in Indianapolis.
Okay, then my bad. Sure. DeMarcus Ware finished his career here. Peyton Manning finished his career here. John Elway finished his career here. But I say that jokingly.
Jerry Rice, in a manner of speaking, finished his career here.
He sure did.
He actually had his retirement press conference right here in Denver.
With that, this is what Lynch had to say about choosing to finish his career here in Denver. You just knew with Mike Shanahan at the helm, and even more so, Pat Bowlen as the owner, all you want is a chance. Their actions represented them always wanting to compete for championships. I was thinking about this today. As a matter of fact, I'm thinking, what owner in sports currently is like Pat Bowlen? I called a buddy of mine in Pittsburgh because, you know, you look at the Rooney family. Mm-hmm. He's covered the Steelers for the last 30 years. And he said, well, the Steelers under Rooney, so you had Art Sr., then Dan, and then Art, the grandson. Mm-hmm. And I did not know this, and you might find this interesting. Do you know, as of 10 years ago, a lot of their executives were on handshake deals?
I didn't know that.
Right. Right.
No contract.
Players are under contract.
They could have been fired the next day.
Exactly.
No repercussions.
Exactly. So a little bit like Pat Bowlen. I'll tell you a story that maybe you do or do not know. And this to me sums up Pat Bowlen as an owner as much as anything. And you probably know a lot of Pat Bowlen stories. Because I don't think there are any owners in sports, all of professional sports, that would do what Pat Bowlen did. For those that don't remember, Carl Mecklenburg played all seven positions in the front seven. And he had a bonus in his contract for sacks one particular year. Do you know the story?
I know of it, yeah, but you have the details probably down.
Yeah, Carl told me. So, yeah, I do have the details. Yeah. So, right before the start of the season, a guy got injured in the front seven. Carl was playing a position in which he would have loaded up on sacks, and he had to move positions. At the end of the season, Carl was sitting in Pat Bowlen's office, and Pat said, I'm going to give you your bonus anyway, because I know if you would have stayed at your position, but you were a team player and you moved, if you would have stayed at your position, you would have hit that bonus, and I'm going to give you that bonus. To me, owners today are corporate. They are bottom line. The only guy that I can think of that would truly go out of his way for his players is Mark Cuban.
That's the name that I thought of as well. Even though obviously he does so in a little bit more of a bombastic style, but somebody who will do anything and doesn't think about the profit and loss ledger when he makes a move. Who's passionate. And like I think back to when Mark Cuban bought that team, and kind of the things that the Mavs players at the time said are very similar to what I've heard from Bronco players talk about when Pat Bowlen came in. They're like, you know, all of a sudden you went from a situation where you didn't really know the owner and the owner didn't really know you to, oh, we're seeing this guy around. And if we want something, if there's something wrong, we feel like we can let him know and something's going to get done.
Right.
Like I remember with Mark Cuban, guys talked about how they didn't have good towels and they didn't have robes. The next day,
right,
new towels,
right,
you know, these fancy Egyptian, you know, cloth robes,
right,
all sitting waiting for him.
I'll let you tell
this. That's a good owner.
I'll let you tell the story if you would like to, but I'll just make a statement. Pat Bowlen always wanted to do right by his players, but didn't always know how to. Mike Shanahan taught him. Because Mike Shanahan came from the San Francisco 49ers. Right. Go ahead. You probably know as much, if not more, than I do about this.
Well, the thing that the 49ers did things, a lot of little things, to make things easier on the players. And Eddie DeBartolo was somebody who operated with a pretty high budget. Like, for example, back when most of the NFL teams were traveling on 727s and DC-9s that were either six seats across or five seats across, the 49ers were taking a DC-10 or a 767. Huge planes. So players, instead of only having 1.5 seats to themselves, would have 2 or even 3 seats to themselves. And Mike said, hey, we need to travel a little better. And so it wasn't for all trips, but like for long ones, the Broncos start taking the bigger plane. Like when they flew to New England, they would take the big plane, something they hadn't done. And the other thing on travel, when
you had a roommate, didn't you?
You had a roommate.
Not anymore.
Until Mike Shanahan walked in, because the way they did it with the 49ers was every player had their own room. And the rationale was, you know, two guys room together. Maybe they have different habits. Maybe one guy is a night owl. Maybe the other guy wants to get to sleep at 9 o'clock at night and get 12 hours of sleep. And you had, and when guys roomed together, these things often were at odds. And so, 1995 season, players looked at their travel manifest and saw that they were all rooming together in the regular season, or rooming had their own rooms in the regular season.
Right.
Rookies still roomed together in the preseason, but that's preseason. And these were things that Pat Bowlen was willing to do because Mike went somewhere else. Saw something different, saw something better, and said, if we're going to be a successful organization, this is a little thing that will pay big dividends.
When you eat a steak, do you think the best quality is going to come from a cow that ate really good or ate really poorly?
Ate really well.
Well, that's another thing Mike Shanahan brought with him. Enough of these, for lack of a better phrase, box lunches and crap food. It's not that Pat Bowlen was cheap and said, well, gee, I'll give the guys macaroni and cheese and hamburgers and hot dogs. He probably didn't know any better. When Mike Shanahan got here, they hired a chef. They flew in lobster. They gave these guys the best food.
Yeah.
The best. No matter what the money was, Pat Bowlen would spend it, because at the end of the day, I'm sorry to say it this way, but if athletes are like cattle and they are your investment, you want them finely tuned.
You know, this to this day, the lobster remains an annual tradition of Broncos camp. The day that everybody gathers and they have the team meeting, the dinner is steak and lobster.
You know what I'll be curious to see, Mace?
What?
When the new owner comes in, how is all of that culture going to change? because it's hard to say to the new boss, the owner, well, but we used to do it this way. Mm-hmm. And he would say, no, this is the way I'm going to do it. So a credit to Joe Ellis for keeping the legacy and not changing a thing that Pat Bowlen did. But Joe Ellis isn't going to be running the show anymore. And now the culture could change for the better. It could remain the same, or it could get worse. Because, listen, at the end of the day, there are a lot of reasons why billionaires are billionaires. Some of those reasons are they're frugal.
Yeah.
They invest well. They worked hard. All of those things. It's a combination of things. But some are frugal.
But how are they going to run something that is, I hate to say like a toy or a plaything, but something that is about having fun, winning, and being successful? Is it going to be one of those money is no object things? Because the little things like that, the, you know, rooming, not having a roommate.
I understand that.
But an owner is going to, I think what the new owner, whoever he or she is going to find is that it's not going to be things like, oh, we're going to have lobster at the first camp dinner and that sort of thing. It's probably going to be bigger things like, oh, we have this facility where there's kind of a design flaw where literally you cannot walk through the first floor of the building without going through the locker room, and how while they've maximized the space as much as they can, that locker room is still a lot smaller than most everyday training facility locker rooms in the NFL. And that's why I think where that new owner is going to come in and make some changes and have an impact is probably in terms of construction and facility stuff.
Coming up after the break, we're going to have a chat with Sean Keeler of the Denver Post. He did a terrific column at the All-Star game. He talked to a lot of national writers about the national perception of the Rockies. That's next.
Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back. Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason. Watch us. MileHighSports.com. You can reach us on the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you are looking for wholesale lumber to the public for your next project, not retail, wholesale, go to RockyMountainForestProducts.com. In the meantime, I want to tell you about Denver Exotic Rental Cars. You have probably dreamed about driving a Maserati or a McLaren or a Ferrari or some high-end super sports car. Well, those things are tough to buy, but you can rent them. And I'm not talking about at Avis or Budget or Hertz. I'm talking about Denver Exotic Rental Cars. You can go there. They are in Arvada. And you can go to their website, Denver Exotic Rental Cars, click on Garage, and see what you can rent for a day, for a couple of hours, for a weekend. Make it a birthday present gift. How about an anniversary gift? How about on a first date night? Can you imagine a guy like Sean Keeler rolling up in a Maserati, and he has still been stood up on the date? Go to DenverExoticRentalCars.com. Time now for the buzz.
The Buzz is presented by Mighty Plumbing and Heating. Why does Mighty Plumbing and Heating have nearly 155 star reviews? No one has better service, and they will meet or beat any written offer. Go to MightyPH.com.
All right, let's go out to the hotline. I want to bring in a guy who is actually joining us while he is on vacation, Sean Keeler, columnist for the Denver Post. I have to tell you, Sean, you write a lot of great columns. I'm always excited when you come on the show. But when I texted you to come on the show today, I'm thinking, I really hope he's available today of all days, because I don't really want to rehash your column. I'd rather talk to you about it. And what you did was, for those that didn't read it, you talked to a lot of national baseball writers on what their thoughts are about the Rockies on a lot of different topics. Let's start with you asked the question, what word would you best use to describe the state of the Rockies at present? I can read off what you wrote because they were short answers, but I'm going to ask you to color between the lines with what else they said.
Well, to be honest, and thank you for having me, by the way, me pulling up in a Maserati would be a little bit like Peter Griffin pulling up in a Lamborghini.
Right.
It'd look a lot like that.
And, I bet you would.
I wouldn't be able to get out.
Right.
It would be one of those.
Stop
one
that.
Of those deals.
Stop that.
Some of those were done online. So with the exception of Dino Saris at the Athletic, which he then got playfully ripped for because he didn't really follow. They were meant to be quick answers. So most things were one word, desired answers, which is normally not what you want to do in journalism. I know, as you know, but the between the lines is when you string them all together and they all kind of say the same thing. Or of a similar tenor where you get confused. What's the state of the Rockies, for example? We asked gentlemen that's just a fascinating ESPN, Bob Nightingale, USA Today. The nicest thing, and Bob was probably the most politically correct all the way through, where he said, in flux. And most of the other answers were confused, confusing, directionless was my favorite. What's another one? Embarrassing. I don't know if they were quite that far. But I think people are just generally, they tend to ignore the Rockies anyway. We've talked about this. They're basically what the Houston Texans are to the NFL. It's like, if they're good, great. Otherwise, we're just going to, you know, if they have a Hall of Famer, great. Otherwise, we don't care. That's what the Rocks are. They're rarely here. And they're rarely, and this is probably the most damning thing you can say about the Rocks, it's their fault they're not relatively relevant. It's their fault that they're not on the radar. So they just kind of look at that and go, I don't know where they're going. And I don't, you know, I'm not sure if they know where they're going. That seemed to be the tenor.
Yeah, there was one response in particular when you asked about the word to best describe the state of the Rockies at present, and Eno Saris didn't stick with one word. He said, perhaps the team with the worst present and future situation in baseball. Wow.
Yeah. There's no wrong answer. That's kind of the fun of getting those guys together while they were here. You know, because again, we don't get those writers here because we're the Arizona Cardinals of baseball that way. We don't factor in. It doesn't paint a pretty picture. And it certainly doesn't, because I didn't know this was coming later today. You know, full disclosure, we're driving down south on 25 now to kind of shut it down for a couple days. You guys are my last pit stop of responsibility before I kind of break away. Get off.
What are you going to do? Hey, forget about your column. What are you going to do?
I knew you were going to ask that. And my wife said, don't lie. Don't make up something better than what you're doing. We are going to do a Pikes Peak weekend. Not anything very exciting.
Wait, you're married? You found somebody to tolerate you?
I know. You want to talk to her?
No. Well, yeah, I probably. Mm-hmm. She's probably more interesting than you are.
She just nodded vehemently. She just shook her head as forcefully as she could shake. Anyway, regardless of what I'm doing, I think that column coming out online today, I don't know when it's going in print, because like I said, I'm off the radar until Broncos training camp now. In the context of what I understand Bill Schmidt said to our Patrick Saunders, just kind of makes me laugh and makes me cry at the same time. But I didn't know that was coming from Bill Schmidt today. So,
what are you referring to?
We are not. I've only seen the headline because, again, we're traveling. He said, don't count on Trevor Story being moved necessarily. And the quote, the money quote is, we are not other people's farm system.
Would you like me to tell you the reason why he said that? I'll break
Please.
Some... No, no, I'm not kidding. I'll break some news to you because Andrew and I talked about this yesterday. Andrew, remember when I said to you, there's about a 5 to 10% chance they will not move Trevor Story?
Correct.
And I said, people are going to be stunned. And they're going to be like, why aren't you trading him? It doesn't make any sense because you're going to lose him. There's an actual reason why. And did Patrick get into this at all in his column, or did you get into it at all in your column?
Patrick might have. I did not, because you know it's just basically a Q&A kind of deal, but it continue. I'm curious about your reasoning.
It's not my reasoning. I had a long conversation for about 20 minutes on the phone, ironically, last week when I was driving on my vacation, so I find it to be somewhat ironic you're driving on your vacation. This guy is a longtime Major League Baseball executive. He is very tapped into every single team in the league, and he understands the Rockies organization very, very well. If you remember, in the last couple of months, a couple of guys got purged. One of them was a guy by the name of Weil. Remember his first name?
John Weil.
John Weil was the head, I believe, of pro development, pro baseball.
Right. Two of Breidich's lieutenants are gone.
Okay, but Weil's the key guy because he knows other teams' farm systems. And they don't have anybody in the Rockies organization right now who knows other teams' farm systems. Bill Schmidt knows his own, but he doesn't know anybody else's. So this is what I was told, and I'm going to give you some quotes here. You ready for this? This is so stunning that I was like, you have got to be kidding me. Teams call Bill Schmidt, or he calls them. Besides the introductory part of the phone call being, this is Bill Schmidt, the interim GM of the Rockies, and Brian Cashman says, who the hell are you, right? Because who the hell knows who Bill Schmidt is around baseball, right? People at least knew Jeff Breidich, but I'm getting derailed from the story. So teams would say to Bill Schmidt, what would you like in return? And this is an exact quote from my source. Bill Schmidt would say, let me get back to you. And the reason he said, let me get back to you, was he didn't know anybody in anybody else's farm system. So they had to research it. So if the White Sox called, they don't know anybody in the White Sox farm system. A's call, they don't know anybody. From what I understand, other teams are getting frustrated and they are tired of the line, let me get back to you. The thinking is, do you want to make a deal or do you not want to make a deal? So teams are getting frustrated with Bill Schmidt, and their thinking is this. We don't know guys in other teams' farm systems. They are terrified to make a trade because they don't want this to be an Arenado situation all over again.
It's all over again.
But if you get the supplemental pick.
End of the first round, compensatory pick.
If you get that.
If he signs elsewhere.
If you get that compensatory pick, because you're going to have to offer Story $18 to $19 million or whatever it is, and you know a team is going to do it, that goes right into Bill's wheelhouse because he knows the draft.
And actually what's interesting is in Patrick Saunders' story, I'm looking at it right now, he talks about the compensatory pick and says, quote, that might be better than what teams are offering us, unquote. And Patrick Saunders reports that Schmidt noted that players such as Nolan Arenado, Charlie Blackman, and Ryan McMahon were drafted in the second round.
Well, that's putting lipstick on a pig.
Boy, we're getting, you know, we talked about the Broncos sale having signposts of where this is going, unless I'm reading it wrong. And I may be, but I don't think Ryan O'Halloran is. And he seems to think we're going down that road. Boy, that. Yeah, you know, it may be a real boring trade deadline, boys. That's like you said, that sounds like, well, you've got cold feet because you're in a temp position anyway, and you haven't aggressively looked at targets in somebody else's system, and you're going,
well, they had a guy.
Somebody else.
Sean, they had a guy. They let him go.
Yeah.
They let him go right before trading one of your best players.
Yeah, and you're not in a position. You're right. And in their defense, somewhat, you're better off being conservative and going with what you know than what you don't, because you feel pressured.
You don't know about draft picks either, though. You don't know about draft picks either. I mean, that's your biggest crapshoot. At least a guy in a farm system, you have an idea.
The trick is they think they do. Yeah. So they go, you know what, whatever I can bank you, I'll make it up next spring when the draft rolls around. We'll make it back on that. And then when he signs with New York or whatever he chooses to do, will be okay. Okay, that is, you know what? Again, in their defense, not that it's not a great defense, they have a plan.
No, they don't. They actually.
Well, they have something. something of a plan.
Well,
they have a plan to hold tight and just let this thing fall apart on its own. But beyond that, I don't know. You're not banking on much in return.
Sean, there are a couple of truths here. One of them in Patrick's story, and I'm guessing in your column as well, or maybe not in Patrick's column. Let's be honest here. The contenders, generally speaking, have good shortstops. They don't need to make a trade. So one of the questions that you asked was, where do you think Story is going to be traded? Guy said the White Sox, the Reds, the A's. Then one guy said he'll stay with the Rockies, and then the A's. The A's historically don't make trades like this. Do the White Sox really need a shortstop? And what's that?
No.
Oh, I forgot to. Andrew, I forgot to tell you something. Yesterday.
You got to hear it was a Sox fan.
Wait, hold on. Listen to me. I was thinking about this last night in bed, why I forgot to say this on the air. You want to get a good laugh, Sean? Do me a favor. Pull over to the side of the road. Because when you hear this, if you don't, you might drive off the road. I was told by that same source that the Rockies are trying to convince contenders who have shortstops to put Story at second base. They're trying to convince them, hey, listen, Trevor Story's a great player. Just put him at second base, you'll be fine. That has been part of their narrative. And this is as good of a source as you are going to get for baseball.
Right.
Is that nuts? Just put him at second base.
It's nuts. It's nuts. But right now, frankly, the White Sox need one, just so you know.
A shortstop?
They do need. No, they need a second baseman.
Second baseman.
Well, you know what? They might bite on Bill Schmidt's line then.
Right. But they also, to be fair, Rockies fans, other than Jake Berger, who's a big guy who plays third, and Gavin Sheets, who's the son of former Baltimore slugger Larry Sheets. Eric might remember him. They ain't got much in their system. It's pretty much those two guys and some high school arms. Maybe that's good enough for a Story rental. But yeah, they need a second baseman. They don't need a shortstop. Their shortstop was just here. He just left.
Right.
He was hanging out here for the All-Star game. So I'm sure if they're saying that, that's exactly who they're pitching it to. Because the A's need both spots.
Yep.
The White Sox need one. The Reds could use a shortstop for a rental. I mean, it's the rental thing. But trusting your source and hearing that, if that's somebody that you go to the wall for.
I'd go to the wall for this guy.
If you go to the wall for that guy, they're going to be real picky, and they're scared. They're scared to screw up. And I get that, too. I don't agree with it, but I get it. Yeah. I would understand it.
Yeah. All right, what nice dinner are you taking your wife to? What drive-thru are you going to?
Well, ask you that again. We're hitting the mountain.
I'm sure you're taking your wife for a nice dinner. What drive-thru are you going to?
Oh, a drive-thru? Well, yeah. We just did Del Taco for her because she's easy to please, bless her. That way, that's her favorite spot. So we'll do a little fancier later on the trip.
Nice. Listen, enjoy your vacation. You got a couple of weeks. We'll see you at training camp. You and I will stand next to each other and sweat. How's that sound?
We will. You'll look better doing it than I will, though.
I don't know about that.
Have a good week, guys. Be safe.
Enjoy your vacation.
Thanks, guys. See ya. Bye-bye.
How do you like that? I forgot to mention that yesterday. The Rockies are
trying to
push
convince
him as a second baseman.
Oh, my God.
I was lying in bed last night. I don't know what. I mean, a million things go through my mind because of my multiple personalities. And I'm thinking, I forgot to say that on the air. They're trying to push him as a second baseman because all these contenders have shortstops. Just move him to second base. He'll be fine.
Unbelievable. Well, no, it's actually quite believable.
Wiles no longer there. They're pushing him as a second baseman. The truth is, Mace, the truth is that it's going to be tough to get a lot in return because teams that would want a shortstop already have one.
In general. I mean, right. unless somebody else gets stupid. Like I mentioned, the Braves getting desperate and stupid.
But so that's the rug on the floor that everybody can see, so you can sell that. But when you pull up the rug, the truth is they don't know anybody enough in anybody else's farm system. That's the real truth. That's the real truth. There's the truth that is true that they will sell, and then the real truth. Coming up after the break, Peyton Manning threw out the first pitch at Coors for the All-Star game, and it was less than memorable. If you could throw out a first pitch maybe try and hit a free throw, shoot a hockey puck at center ice into the net, or kick a 25-yard field goal in front of a packed house. What would be the most difficult? That'd be next. You want me off your back? Well, come on and let me know. Should I stay or should I...
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back, Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason. Watch us, MileHighSports.com. You can reach us, Reichemont Forest Products Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you're looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. Time now for What's Trending.
What's Trending is presented by Impact Real Estate. Impact Real Estate is creative real estate and solutions with the greatest impact. Go to impactcommercial.co.
You know what? We were going to talk about the first pitch thing with Peyton Manning, but the story from Patrick Saunders on the Denver Post was just posted about an hour ago. You read a quote there, and I would like you to repeat it because I'd like to address this real quick, both of us.
Well, of course, kind of the
headline is...
The headline is that it is where Schmidt talks about how we are not a farm system for other people. That is the quote. At the end of the day, it will be about what we can get back regarding Trevor's story. We are not a farm system for other, quote, unquote.
You know what, Mace?
Yeah, he also said, quote, we don't have to move players for financial reasons, unquote, which is like, you just moved Nolan Arenado for financial reasons.
Right. They're putting lipstick on a pig. You're not other teams' farm systems? Believe me, there isn't a team in baseball that wants your farm system. Not a team in baseball wants your farm system because it is hot garbage.
And this is part of why the Rockies have the worst situation overall in baseball. Yes, the Diamondbacks and others have worse records. I get that. But in terms of being a lousy team, yeah, good team at home, bad team on the road. They're still on pace to lose 90 games. So being a lousy team at the major league level and having a farm system that is relatively bereft of talent, this is what I mean when I say rebuild. They haven't even started rebuilding yet. You have to restock the farm system and let players go.
Oh, they're going
to
rebuild with compensatory picks, Mace.
And that's how you rebuild, but they're realistically, they're years off.
Read me that line that Schmidt said about compensatory picks and how valuable they are.
Quote, that might be better than what teams are offering us, unquote. And as Patrick Saunders writes in the story, Schmidt then noted that Nolan Arenado, Charlie Blackman, and Ryan McMahon were drafted in the second round, and the compensatory pick is at the end of the first round.
So if Bill Belichick came out and said, we don't need to spend a first-round pick, second-round pick, third-round pick, fourth-round pick, or fifth-round pick on a quarterback because we got Tom Brady in the sixth round, would that hold any water to you?
No. I'd say
that is circular logic.
I would say this, you're betting on the exception rather than the rule. You're betting on having the outlier outcome. And that's always a very, very dangerous thing, especially in the major league draft. I mean, it is major league draft is a complete crapshoot. Like you go through the second round of the draft that saw Nolan Arenado get picked. And you know what? That was a second round that was actually better than average. But the only players from that second round who've become all-stars are Arenado, Jason Kipnis, Patrick Corbin and DJ LeMahieu. The rest of it is it's a lot of who's that's and never was.
When you look at John Elway's draft history, I used to say this to Les all the time. If John Elway were smart, he would trade away his first-round pick, second-round pick, and third-round pick because he can't pick any of those. Fourth round, fifth round, sixth round, he's pretty good. Danny Trevathan, Malik Jackson. Yes, you got Derek Wolfe. But generally speaking, for the majority, not all, for the majority of John Elway's drafting success, it came in middle rounds, not at the top where you're supposed to have more success. With that, the joke I used to say about Elway, I will say now about the Colorado Rockies. Maybe it is better that you pick in the second round, because you sure as hell can't make a first round pick work.
And they've tried year after year now. I mean, John Gray has worked out as a first round pick.
And who drafted him? Dan O'Dowd. Jeff Breidich has one potential first round pick that can play, and he still can't play, meaning he's not very good yet. So that's Brendan Rodgers.
Breidich's first draft was 15, right?
13.
Or
13 or 14.
Or 14.
He was hired
End of 13. Okay.
14 was his first draft. He's got nobody.
Kyle Freeland was his first round pick then. That's worked out. Okay.
Wait, when was he drafted?
14.
Okay.
Yeah.
There you go.
15 first round pick was Brendan Rodgers. Again, guy can't stay healthy. But then you get to 2016, Riley Pint, who is out of baseball.
Right.
Now.
Yep.
So, and they actually gave up their first round pick in 17 because of Ian Desmond signing? I believe it was.
Well, clearly that worked out very well. Yeah. Do not rip Breidich for that Ian Desmond signing, because over the last 2 years he's put up historic numbers. What do we have coming up on just in case you missed it?
Hand signals are very important in some sports, some more than others. Baseball comes to mind first, but a football conference is starting to heavily regulate a certain hand signal being used by its players, and we'll get into that on the other side right here.
Hold on real quick. When was Freeland drafted?
14.
14? Okay, that was an O'Dowd pick.
That was O'Dowd's last pick then.
Yes,
so basically
was.
We're talking about it starting
nothing.
With Brendan Rodgers.
Nothing.
Brendan Rodgers, Riley Pine, and effectively your first round pick in 17 was Ian Desmond.
There you go.
On Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, right here on Mile High Sports.
With Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Is this cat scratch fever?
It is.
Wow.
Motor City Madman, Ted Nugent, and he is quite a madman.
Look at Danny going to the Wayback Machine. Welcome back, Afternoon Drive. Goodman, Mason, watch us, milehighsports.com. Reach us, Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. Wholesale lumber to the public, not retail, wholesale. Go to rmfp.com for your next project. Time now for the final word.
The final word. Are you ready? Presented by Sasquatch Casino in Blackhawk. Just in case you missed it, is presented by Masterpiece Roofing. Find out how Masterpiece can get your insurance company to pay for your roof. Call 720-242-6404 or go to masterpieceroofing.com today.
Just in case you missed it, Greg Burks, the Big 12 coordinator of officials, said, if you do horns down to a Texas player as an opponent, that's probably going to be a foul. But doing the gesture to the crowd probably would not. What's the difference in the regulation of horns down here, and is this something the conference should even be worried about regulating in the first place?
They're afraid of taunting, but I'm sorry, that differentiation is so stupid.
I agree. I don't know what else to say.
If Texas's players are allowed to do horns up on the field, you ought to be allowed to do horns down. Simple as that.
That is a very logical argument, Mace. I would have to agree with you there.
What, do you agree with me because I agreed with him?
I do. I am in agreement with both
Thank
of you.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. I appreciate
it. Just in case you missed it, the Olympics start next Friday in Tokyo. U.S. women's national team has shut out opponents in 11 of their 12 soccer games that they have played in 2021. They are coming off of a 2019 World Cup win. And they're looking for revenge after losing in the quarterfinals of the 2016 Rio Olympics to Sweden. Are there any events coming up in the Olympics that you are especially confident the U.S. will win gold in?
Yes, Katie Ledecky, who swims anything long distance.
That was my pick as well.
She's the only slam dunk.
It's not a question of whether she's going to win gold medals. It's how many.
How many times will she lap the field in the pool?
Is she going to raise the bar so high that maybe it's unassailable? That's the question for Ledecky. As long as she doesn't get hurt.
Just in case you missed it, you guys talked about the top 10 tight end list that ESPN compiled. You didn't get to that today.
We'll get that tomorrow.
Well, but we'll get to it tomorrow, but let's...
Well,
let's
how about I talk about the top 10 wide receivers?
Yeah! Hey!
Man, thinking out of the box, like, D-Dog!
The top 10 wide receivers...
Call you D-Dog? Does anybody call you
no
D-Dog?
No one's ever called me that before,
okay,
I don't
then I'll
think,
take that back.
But that's all right. There's a first time for everything.
I got excited.
This coming from the same survey of executives, coaches, and players. The top 10 wide receivers in descending order: A.J. Brown at number 10, D.K. Metcalf at number 9, Michael Thomas at number 8, Mike Evans at 7, Keenan Allen at 6, Julio Jones at 5, Tyreek Hill number 4, and the top 3, Stephon Diggs, then DeAndre Hopkins, and the number 1 overall receiver, Devontae Adams. You have any surprises on this list here?
I'm a little surprised Adams is number one. He's a great receiver, no doubt. But I think I would have Hopkins just a notch higher than him.
I'll tell you what stuck out to me. I saw that list the other day. You know what just jumped off the page at me?
Yeah.
Ryan Tannehill, Brown, Jones, and they got a pretty good running back.
Oh,
and I'm thinking, wow. What an offense that is with skill position players.
They're going to
two
be
of the top
watch.
10 wide receivers, according to that list, in football, the best running back in football, and a guy in Tannehill whose numbers are comparable, if not better, than Patrick Mahomes since he became the full-time starter.
They're going to be a must-watch team. It's just a question of how much their defense can hold up.
They're going to
score 30-plus a game.
They might become the San Diego Chargers of the early 1980s. They can score all day, but they can't stop anybody. That was Masterpiece Roofing, just in case you missed it. We've had a lot of hail recently, and if your roof has been damaged, you know what? Go with the company that has been voted Denver's best roofing company. Talking about Masterpiece Roofing, they can come out and give you a free roof estimate. When they do, they're going to show you how they can get your insurance company to pay for your roof. You got to go with Masterpiece Roofing. They're the best in the business. Go to MasterpieceRoofing.com. Nolan, great job today. Danny, for those that didn't see behind the scenes, you were playing whack-a-mole today. We don't need to get into the reason why, but you were. And you were nothing short of marginal today. Andrew, great job today.
I did just what I had to do
so that
we could keep it going.
If people could actually see what you had to deal with today, they're going to be like, how in the world did he even produce this show?
And the fact that we're on the air is a testament to Danny today.
And Nate.
Danny
and
Nate.
AJ.
And of course, you.
Oh,
but we're on the air because of them.
Well, we're on the air because of you.
They did amazing work making sure we were on, so
that's not what you told me in the break. That's not what you told me in the break. You said it's all about you. Make it the best possible night you can.